people here. Praise and thank the Lord for that. And I wish that I could say that with so many of us here today, because I realize the children have gone to their Sunday school classes, and the teachers have also gone to join them. But I wish I could say that everyone here today is saved and on his or her way to heaven. However, according to the Word of God, it is highly unlikely that everyone, every single individual here, is saved. Now I said, do not say that to be negative, or just simply realizing that in a large group of people, even sometimes those that have been coming to church, there may be one or two or more that have never yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's of course not a question that God doesn't want people to be saved. He does want you to be saved. But the reason that many people today are not saved is because there is something in their life that hinders them from being saved. And in the book of Acts, as we continue to read there in our daily manna reading, and as we have read chapter 24 today, we see that the Apostle Paul is arrested. He stands in judgment for what he believes, and he is judged for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today I would like to look with you at three people, one in chapter 24, one in chapter 25, and then one in chapter 26, and to see what their reaction was when Paul presented the gospel to them. And as we see that, we can ask ourselves, am I responding in a similar way? Or is my response to the gospel something different? Now the first person we see here, chapter 24, the chapter that we have read, is Felix. And the key verses that we want to look at are chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. Now the name Felix means happy or lucky. I'm not sure how lucky he was. Question there, is there such thing as luck? I don't think so. How happy he is today? I don't think he's very happy today. But at least that is the name, the meaning of his name, happy or lucky. Felix himself was not a good person. If you read his biography and study, not just here, the account that is given in the Bible, but also the secular historians write about him. For instance, there was a young lady, Drusilla by name, and he thought she was very pretty and he wanted to marry her. Unfortunately, she was already married to somebody else. But that didn't stop him from marrying her anyway. So he marries another person's wife. That was Felix. He's also known in history as being very cruel. Many people were killed during his days. We also know that he liked money. He enjoyed receiving bribes. We saw that in verse 26 in the passage that we read. He, that is Felix, hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. You see that? I'm calling Paul to be with me. He sent for him the oftener. Commune with him. Yeah, Paul, come and talk some more. Paul, come talk some more. Doesn't the guy get the hint? If he gives me some money, I'll let him go. But Paul didn't do that. But that's the idea there. So he gladly accepted bribes. He basically lived with the attitude, get all you can while you can. That was Felix. So that's why I say he was not a good person. But Felix did hear the preaching of the Word of God, because Paul preached to him. You know, if you listen to it, verse 21, Paul says, accepted be for this one voice that I Christ standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. So Felix was there. He heard Paul preach. Verse 25, you know, really goes down to the very heart. Maybe I should read 24 too. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, so she was Jewish. She knew the scriptures. When I say scriptures there, of course, we're talking about the Old Testament. She knew that word of God. So, and he knew. So he sent for Paul. He heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Paul had the opportunity to witness to him. So Felix heard that word of God. And Paul reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, of judgment to come. So the message was very clearly preached. Righteousness, you know, the righteous living that we need. Of temperance, self-control, because Felix didn't have much self-control. Whenever he wanted it, and I want it now. That was Felix. You know, of judgment to come. Christ is coming again. He will judge the world. So Paul preached about all these things. And notice that Felix trembled. Felix was afraid, really. We might say that his heart began to melt. That conviction began to set into his soul as the Holy Spirit began to work in his heart. But he didn't believe. You know, Felix knew that everything that Paul was saying was true. Yet he did not believe. Felix allowed his love for sin to keep him from getting saved. Look what he said, the last part there in verse 25. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Not now. Some other time. But you know what? You cannot get saved at a time of your convenience. That's what he said. You know? Go thy way. Go away. I've heard enough for today. Don't want to hear anymore. You know? Come back some other time. When I have a convenient season, when it's suitable for me, then I'll call you back and I can listen to you again, what you have to say. But you cannot get saved at a time of your convenience. If you want to get saved, do it now. See, that's what the Bible says. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Now is the accepted time. Not when I have a convenient season. Some other time. Tomorrow. Next week. But not now. Dr. George W. Truett, he lived from 1867 to 1944. He was a Baptist pastor in Dallas, Texas, in the United States. Many years ago, he had a friend who was a lawyer, also in Dallas. And this lawyer friend came to Dr. Truett one day and said, George, you and I came here to Dallas at the same time. You were a young preacher, and I was a young lawyer. I must confess that when I first heard you, I was moved a great deal by your sermons. Very frankly, there were nights where I could not sleep. But as the years wore on, I could listen to you, and it did not disturb me anymore. He chuckled, that lawyer friend, and said, and you are a lot better preacher now than you were back then. But you know, that's the sad thing, isn't it? And yet how true it is. Here this friend of Dr. Truett has heard the gospel week after week, month after month, year after year. When he first heard it, it pricked his conscience. He was affected by it. You know, that's what he says. You know, I was moved a great deal by your sermons. There were nights when I couldn't sleep. But I never responded to it. Oh, some more convenient time, some other time. And now, this lawyer friend no longer responded to that gospel message. And that can happen to you and me as well. We hear a message from God week after week, month after month, year after year. We've heard it so many times. Oh, you know, we can all say what it is. But there may never have been a genuine conversion. Maybe these are just like Felix. Some other time, he procrastinated, doesn't he? Put it off. When there's a more convenient season. You know, not now. And this is what people do so often. No, I've got to finish school first. Then I've got to finish uni first. I've got to get married first. You know, and then I've got to settle down and have family. Not now. I've got to make sure that my children get through school. You know, and then I retire. Well, I still have time. No hurry. That's what they say. And like Felix, many people put it off. They heard that gospel message many, many times. And maybe some of you are in that position. You have heard that message many times, but you have never responded to it. You're like Felix. Go away. Come back some other time when it's more convenient for me. You know, the more you knowingly live in sin, the less and less the truth will be able to convict your heart. But you need to remember, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Sad when you think of the life of Felix. But look at the next chapter. We have Festus here. Festus. And the key verses that I want to refer to are in chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I, and that is Festus, sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man, that is Paul, to be brought forth. Against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusations of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, their own religion, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. So the key part here that I want to look at with you regarding Festus. By the way, his name, Festus, means festive, joyful, merry. But I doubt if he's very festive or joyful or merry today. Now notice something in verse 19. But had certain questions against him of their own superstition, their own religion, and of one Jesus which was dead. So what we see is that Paul had witnessed to Festus of Jesus who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. So Paul had been talking to Festus. Festus knew that Jesus was dead. That was well known. That was a fact. We're talking now maybe 25, 30 years after the death of Christ. This was a story that the people knew. And so Paul preaching and says, no, 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 he's not dead. He is alive. So Paul had been witnessing to Festus, talked to him about Jesus Christ. Yes, he died on the cross, but he rose again. He is alive today. And that this Jesus that we are talking about, that he is the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. That's the one that we Jews have been waiting for. The Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. He is there. So we see Paul witnessing in the report that we get here from Festus. But then we again see in verse 20 the reaction of Festus to this. He said, I doubted of such manner of questions. So Festus doubted. But when we say he doubted, it means very simply, he did not believe. His problem was unbelief. Remember we talk about one of the disciples of Jesus named Thomas? We often call him Doubting Thomas. Why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Because he did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. So the doubt indicates unbelief. And that's what we see here then on the part of Festus. He doubted. He did not believe. So his problem. You know, in the case of Felix, his problem was procrastination. We must put it off, put it off, put it off. Some more conveniencies and I'll come and believe. But in Festus, I don't believe it. I doubt. Cannot be true. Now the Bible says this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's very clear. And whether you believe it or not, he is the risen Lord. And you will submit to him now, or you will submit to him when he judges your sin and casts you into hell. That's something we have to realize. You know, some people don't like to think of that. But that's the teaching from the Word of God. That's what our faith is based on, the Word of God. That Word is truth. And that's what God says. You know, regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 tell us about that Lord Jesus Christ and his exaltation. It talks first about his humiliation, how he was willing to die on the cross. But then it goes on to his exaltation. God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. You know, that every knee shall bow to him. So people will bow to him. So I'm going to bow to him now and say, my Lord and my God, as Doubting Thomas did when he saw the risen Lord. Or we're going to be bowing down before him when he will judge us. Now we recently talked about the judgment seat of Christ, and I mentioned it that time too. There is another major judgment which is yet future, and that's the great white throne judgment described in Revelation 20 verses 11 to 15, the last part of the chapter there. And I saw the dead in Christ stand before God, we read. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to those things which were written in the books. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the description there of the great white throne judgment. That's the unbeliever. That is Festus. I doubt it. In other words, I don't believe it. How sad when you see that. Now is the accepted time. Not some other time. Believe now. Now Felix was putting it off. Festus just plain did not believe. How sad. He had the opportunity to listen. He had the opportunity. He heard the gospel. But he says, I don't believe it. Paul says he is alive. Now, I know better. He's dead. So, he rejected the message of salvation. Don't reject that message, please, like Festus did. But then, In chapter 26, we have one more person, Herod Agrippa II, technically, but the Bible just calls him Agrippa here. And I want you to note verses 27 through 29 here in chapter 26. Paul asks, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, are both almost and altogether such I am, except these bonds. That's Agrippa. Incidentally, there's some question as to what his name means. As I research and try to find out, two suggestions are made regarding his name. Some people say that his name means born feet first. All right? So when he came out of the mom, you know, he came out feet first. So that's what some people say the name means. And the other meaning of the name is wild horse. Well, take your pick. I haven't been able to find out which one is the better one of the two, but these are the two that are suggested. But if you look at Agrippa, he actually had a knowledge of the scriptures. You know, if you go back, chapter 26, verse 3, Paul says here, I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. So please hear me patiently. But he says, I know that you're an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. In other words, I know that you know these things in the Old Testament. And verse 26 also, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. The king knoweth of these things. He knows. Agrippa knew. He had that background. He knew what the Word of God said. But while he knew and had the knowledge of the Scriptures, Paul asked Agrippa that question, believest thou the prophets? And then Paul went on, I know that thou believest. I know it. But do you really believe the prophets? And Agrippa gives a sad response. A response that many people today also give. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost persuaded thou to be a Christian. But almost saved is all the way lost. Almost saved is definitely going to hell. Agrippa, no doubt, the way he responded, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Agrippa, no doubt, was under conviction of the Holy Spirit, just as Felix was. But instead of procrastinating, he just flatly rejects the gospel. Almost you persuaded me, but not really. So we see Felix, we see Festus, we see Agrippa. And all three of these men, Felix, Festus, and Agrippa, are today crying out in the midst of weeping and gnashing of teeth in the place that we know as hell. They are suffering eternally for procrastinating on their salvation. Some other time when I have a more convenient season, maybe. Not believing salvation. I doubt it. I don't believe it. And then flatly rejecting that message of salvation. Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian, but I'm not going to believe. More than 2,000 years ago, King Agrippa told the Apostle Paul, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. mocking like Festus, rejecting the gospel message like Agrippa. Back in 1871, there was a pastor by the name of Brumbidge, and he preached on the story here of Agrippa, almost how persuaded to be to be a Christian. And as he concluded his sermon of this passage, he said, "He who is almost persuaded is almost saved. And to be almost saved is to be entirely lost. He who is almost persuaded is almost saved. And to be almost saved is to be entirely lost." Among those who were there in the congregation listening to that sermon that day was a man by the name of Philip Paul Bliss. P.P. Bliss was born in 1838 and died in 1876. Some of you may have already recognized the name P.P. Bliss. He is a well-known hymn writer. He has composed many hymns. And as Bliss listened to that sermon by Reverend Brundage, the powerful closing words left such an impression upon Bliss that he set about composing a song, a hymn, with the same sentiment, "Almost Persuaded." The hymn "Almost Persuaded" was published in the same year, 1871, published in a collection, The Charm, a collection of Sunday school music, and it quickly found its way into the majority of English Christian hymn books. And the compelling words of that hymn, "Almost Persuaded," have since been sung at many churches as the closing hymn of the worship service. And we'll be singing that today in just a few moments. And as we do so, I want you to remember Reverend Brundage's words. "He who is almost persuaded is almost saved. And to be almost saved is to be entirely lost." Think of Felix. Think of Festus. Think of Agrippa. They all heard the gospel. Felix procrastinated. Festus doubted. Agrippa, not interested. Today, they're all suffering in hell. The name Festus, festive, happy. You think he's very happy today? He may have a name that means that, but he's not happy. Felix, not happy today. They're all suffering in hell. Almost persuaded, but they never believed on Christ. Do you believe on Him? Are you saved? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have briefly looked here at the lives of Felix, Festus, and Agrippa, Lord, they heard the gospel, but Felix procrastinated. Festus doubted. Agrippa simply rejected the message of salvation. Lord, for them it is too late. But for us, there is still time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Lord, if there be any here in our midst today, maybe one, maybe two, maybe more, that have never yet come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, may they even right now confess their sins to thee. him alone.